Church, it was awesome to watch them as they did their cool little moves and sang their songs and led us in those videos. And it really just reminded me of how easily we can miss the meaning of the season. Right? How quickly we can begin to turn December into something that it just doesn't need to be. Now, I am right with you. I understand that Christmas is like uncomfortably close. Anyone else? Anyone else? Like someone said Christmas is 3 weeks away and you said how I did that this week. Like what in the world? Like how is this taking place? And so many times in the midst of this Christmas season, we can confuse ourselves and confuse our hearts by elevating improper priorities in our lives. Now, spending time with your family this season, making sure that your checklist get checked off, making sure that your vacation is booked, all of those things, that you get up in enough time now to start your car early, get that scraper out, maybe you need a new one, hallelujah, right? Get that elbow grease in to make sure that it's clear to see out the front of the car. All of these things are a part of the Christmas season. But Kanata, my encouragement for you today is that we never miss the true meaning of the season. The Son of God sent for each and every one of us. A reminder this morning as our life kids are on the stage of why it is that we do what we do. Why are we here this morning? Why are we running after God with everything that we have? Because there is a generation following in behind that are cheering us on, that are asking us, can you lead us better than the generation before you? Can you lead us better than the generation before that? As we've gone through the Old Testament, we can see just how much of a difference that we as the adults called by God in this particular season, at this particular time, you can see in the Old Testament the difference that it makes if we are truly sold out to the Lord. Amen? You can see it over and over and over again. From the Old Testament to today in 2025, God has not stopped calling his people with everything that he has. His desire and his will for our lives has not changed. Church, he wants you to be holy as he is holy. He wants you to be righteous as he is righteous. He wants you to live in the freedom that was bought with the price of his son. He wants you to stand boldly and stand tall, even if you don't understand what a frankincense even is. It's important for us to sit in this space in the midst of a very vulnerable time such as the Christmas season, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, coming to earth in the form of a baby. As we can sit in this space and we can remember how vulnerable God was in that moment and how he entrusted his son to Mary and Joseph, we can sit and we can say, awe, and we can dream about elephants at the manger. Like we can think about all of these things. But let's not forget that because God put this plan into place, church, you are stronger than you give yourself credit for. For he who is alive in you, he who has brought in all this adoration, he who is exalted at the manger scene, he who is alive in you is greater than any weapon that could be formed against you. My prayer in this Christmas season is that we would keep Jesus at the front and at the foremost of our thoughts with that reminder that we will choose not to let him go, not to misplace him, not to put him to the left or to put him to the right. The gifts and all of that, the family and all of that, these are all good things. But God is greater than them all. So this morning I want to start, if you have your Bibles, you can actually turn to the Old Testament. We're going to jump into Exodus chapter 3, and then we're going to fast forward into the New Testament and read the nativity scene a little bit in Matthew chapter 1. But we're going to start in Exodus chapter 3, and while you turn there, each and every week we are going to be reading a poem at the beginning of our messages. And so I'm going to read a poem called O Adonai by Malcolm Giet as you search for those chapters. Unsayable, you chose to speak one tongue. Unseeable, you gave yourself away. The Adonai, the Tetramatton, Yahweh, grew by a wayside in the light of day. O you who dared to be a tribal god, to own a language, a people, and a place, who chose to be exploited and betrayed. If so, you might be met face to face. Come to us here, who would find you not there, who chose to know the skin but not the pith, who heard no more than thunder in the air, who marked mere events, not the myth. Touch the bare branches of unbelief and blaze again like a fire in every leaf. At this time of year, the Benedictine monks would note this particular part of the calendar by reading off and quoting themselves something called the Antiphons, which are a series of seven Advent prayers that describe God in a different word. Today, as we kick off this Christmas season, we are going to center our focus on one aspect of who God is, a name that he has been given, the name O Adonai. O Adonai, O Lord. Church, our God is not simply the creator of all, but he is also the creator in all. And so we see this in the personification and the identification of God as O Adonai, O Lord. He is Lord over all, and he is Lord in all. Church, our God is not a God who is far, but he is a God who is close. We see this in the story of Moses, as Moses is tending his flock, and as he's working for his father-in-law, he sees a bush that is burning and yet is not consumed. He turns his attention towards the bush, and as he turns his attention, the verses in Exodus note that God notices Moses' pause. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you today to pause. To pause in this place. I said this to the worship team and the production team this morning, and I want to give each and every one of you full permission to participate as well. Right now, in this moment, I just want you to just brush off whatever it is that you need to do this afternoon. Can you do that right now? Can you just let it go? I'm not going to sing it. Some of you wanted me to go there. I'm not doing it. Maybe you have things that desperately need to get done this year. I know many of us have end of year projects that are looming, but I want to give you permission right now to just release that. In this moment, it's not about what meal you're going to eat after service. It's not about all the things that need to get done. It's not about the checklist. In this moment, I want to give you permission today to pause, to turn your eyes upon what the Lord is doing. As Moses pauses and God begins to speak, Moses asks him an important question. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13. Moses, responding to the challenge that God had given him, says, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' What should I tell them?" Exposed differently, Moses begins to ask in this question, "If I were to use a name to describe you, O voice from this bush, what is the name in which I should use?" Moses asks a very common question here, one that you will hear me ask you probably 50 times at the door. "Sorry, what's your name? Sorry, could you tell me your name again?" Why? Because names are a great identifier. Names begin to bestow purpose. Not only are we made uniquely, but our names begin to ring out. Someone can say, "Hey, guy," and everyone can turn. But when my wife, even in the midst of a giant crowd, says, "Mitch," I know to seek out that voice. You know what I'm saying? There's something about a name. Some of you here this morning, your name actually carries so much more meaning than simply the pronunciation that comes with it. There are descriptors and intentionality that was given from birth. Others in this room, like my son Sawyer, who's not here today, but Sawyer, when you look it up, it means one who cuts trees. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sawyer said, "Why did you name me that?" I said, "I just really liked it." But others of you in this room, your name carries deep meaning. Every syllable and some of your middle names as well, they describe a purpose and a prayer that your family had for you at birth. They describe what it is that God wants to speak not only over your life, but through your life. Church, this morning, I want to remind you as we get into the name of the Lord that He has also named each and every one of you. And He calls you His own. Oh, come on. Moses poses this question to the Lord, what should I call you? Church, have you ever asked God that question? God, what do you say of me? Young people in this room, my junior highs, there are going to be a lot of different things that are going to be said of you. I remember walking through junior high in my own life and experiencing a lot of challenge because everyone seemed to want something from me. And when people liked me the most was when I was being what it was that they needed me to be. I remember walking through grade 8 and grade 9, and I wasn't the best student, and it kind of hit me in this time. I knew what it was that people wanted from me. I couldn't articulate why I felt it so deeply. But I would go to school in grade 8 and grade 9, and people would come up to me, and they'd say, Mitch, did you do your homework? 9 times out of 10, my answer was, no. And the smiles on their faces. I didn't realize it until that 10th of the 10th time where people came up to me and they said, Mitch, did you do your homework? I said, I did. And they were so angry. I had one of my friends say, are you kidding me? I said, what? Like, what? And they're like, I was relying on you to have not done your homework so that I could feel good about not doing mine. My friend said, I literally sat there and said, I don't want to do this, and I know Mitch won't do it either, so. And I felt that in just that moment of like, wait a second, like the expectation that was on me as a young person. Young people, I want to just encourage you today. The only person that you have to be is who God has called you to be. That's it. You live for an audience of one. And you listen to what it is that God is speaking over you. What is it that He's challenging you with? Because here's the thing. God actually wants the best for you. The selfishness that God exists in, the jealousy that He has for you is that He loves you so much. And He wants to live in relationship with you. Those that don't know God or aren't walking in unity with Him, they will have expectations on what other people should do to properly represent God for them. Church, this is an important piece for all of us to rest in, not just our young people. Hello? We cannot place the responsibilities of Jesus on any other person. Do not allow a pastor, an internet individual, someone that you're spending too much time listening to on Twitter, never allow someone else to carry the same honor, designation, and respect that is only due to the Lord. Because people will let you down, but the Lord will never fail you. And so Moses asks him, he says, okay, I'm struggling in this place. I'm stuttering all over the place. I don't really know who I am. And I know that these individuals, these Israelites, they're not going to be saved by me. So when I tell them I'm here on behalf of God, who should I say that you are? And this is what God replies. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how I am to be remembered in every generation. O Adonai, Lord of all. Why was Moses asking this question? We talked a little bit about it when we were walking through the book of Exodus. And you know, if you were with me in Life Center School of the Bible, we sat in this place also in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the Torah that is often attributed to the authorship to Moses. And we asked, why would it be phrased this way? Why are these things included? Why does Moses ask this of God? What are you God of? would be another way that Moses would pose it. As you get into different mythology and different religious beliefs at the time, you'll see that there was many gods that the surrounding nations used to worship, right? There was the god of the sun. There was the god of death. There was the god of the river. There was the god of the rain. There was all of these gods who generally would exist in all these places. This is where you get all of your different forms of idol worship and all these things. And Moses is saying, okay, what are you God of? And God's response is, yes. Well, what is your name, God? And God's response is, I am. Church, he is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. He is Adonai. He is not just our Lord. He is not just our Savior. He is not just righteous. He is not just the King of Kings. He is not just the Alpha and the Omega. He is not just the God of creation. He is not just the God who saves. He is not just the God who redeems. He is God of all. He is all of those things at all times in three in one. He is Lord. His arm is not too short. He is the suffering Savior. He is the source of your redemption. He is the final sacrificial Lamb of God. He is the one who spoke everything into being. Church, he is the one who provides your very breath today. Who is he? Yes. Yes, he is. This is the name that God gives to Moses. He is the God who cares for all. He is Adonai. He is Lord. He is not descriptive for simply a function, for love or agriculture or war. In short, God tells Moses in this moment that he is the Lord for all generations. He is the Lord of lords. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings, and he will very shortly show them exactly who he is. The God found in our scriptures is greater. Full stop. Who is he? Yes, he is. The great I am. A Christmas reminder for us this morning is that God doesn't make any of these things true as he reveals them. He simply allows us to better understand who he is. He always has been, he is today, and he always will be. Church, his arm is not short for you today, and it won't be too short for you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Church, he is not simply the God who, in the midst of a testimony where we stand back and say, wow, look what God has. Of course he did. Right? As we hear testimonies in our midst of God providing a birth where the doctor said there would be no birth, and there's stories in this room of provision up to the exact penny of exactly what individuals needed. There's stories in this room of provision of jobs being obtained without resumes even being submitted. Church, there are stories in this room of salvation falling on lives where each and every one of us would have said, oh, but they're so far. All of those things don't simply in that moment make God who he says that he is. They simply reveal who he's always been. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, what does that mean? It means junior high when you're on camp and when you're at retreat and God shows up in that moment. Right? Where all of a sudden it just feels like his arms are wrapped around you. It doesn't mean, oh, now God is real. It's simply a reminder to you, he's always been with you. And he loves you completely. Something to hold on into your heart in that moment. But don't allow the enemy to say, oh, he's only the God of camp. Or he's only the God of retreat. No, no, no. He is the I am. He is greater. As we've seen in the Old Testament, as we've studied the book of Isaiah, Christmas is slow in coming, and then it's sudden, right? Everybody said amen. It is slow in coming, and then it's sudden. All of a sudden, you feel like, oh my goodness, 3 weeks, I have lots of time, and then you're going to be hanging out here on Christmas Eve, and we're going to look at each other, and in your eyes, I'll know if you'll be leaving the service to pick up a couple last things. But this is exactly how God works as well in the narrative. Spoken through the prophet Isaiah. The foretelling of what it is that is yet to come. Daniela, as she led us this morning reading from the early books of Isaiah, she spoke straight into our lives exactly what it is that we know. The expectation that all the Israelites should have had, and yet Jesus caught them unaware. They had all of the scriptures that we've just finished reading as we go into the Christmas story. They knew who it was that they should be looking for. As you sit in Isaiah 53, it is very, very, very clear that Jesus is the Messiah. And yet even with all of these reminders, they still missed him walking in front of them. Moses was confronted in Israel's time of need, and Joseph is confronted as well. This at a point in time where the world is about to be confronted with its desperate need for a Savior. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 19. The birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they became together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Moses stops to see and is confronted with the impossibility of how he should be the one to go to Pharaoh and set the people free. Now Joseph here stops to consider how it is that he can still honor his betrothed and yet move forward with all of his plans and all of his understanding. And as he stops to consider his circumstances, God sends an angel. Matthew chapter 1, 20 to 21. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Church, Adonai is Lord. And in the Christmas story, we see that the Lord, and as we serve him by connecting all of these ideas together, we understand the bigger work of what it is that God is doing. God wants to speak over each and every one of you today. That he is not simply God if he shows up in your circumstance. He is Lord of the circumstance. Oh. Church, he's not just God if he shows up in the midst of the storm. No, he's the one who has the power to speak to the storm, peace, be still. He is God of the storm. Church, when does the light shine the brightest? Is it in the middle of the spotlight? No. The light shines the brightest in the darkness. He is Lord. And he wants to speak to you this morning. A reminder of who that makes you. Because he has called you his own. He loves you so much. In this season, as we dive into all of these understandings of who the Lord is, let us not forget this simple truth. That we have the Christmas story because our Savior loves us. He is Lord of all. And as Lord of all, it was his delight to send his Son on our behalf. We sung it this morning that he did not despise the cross, but walked to it willingly. And so this Christmas season, as we recount the birth of our Savior, may you hear God proclaim, I am. I am Lord of all. If you have your communion elements, we're going to close our service by approaching the communion table together. What better way to celebrate the birth and coming of our Savior than to remind ourselves of exactly what it is that this would cost? If you don't have any elements, you just want to raise your hand nice and high. Our awesome guests and family services team will come and make sure you guys get that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Saul, who would become known as Paul, as God revealed the I am to him and changed his name and changed the course and trajectory of his life as he's speaking to a church that he himself, through God's power, planted in Corinth, as he's talking to them about how deep and how wide and how incredible the Lord's love is for him, he introduces them to this understanding of the power of communion. But he reminds them all in verse 27 of chapter 11 that we are to examine our lives. To examine our lives to make sure that we don't come to these communion moments simply engaging in ritual, simply engaging in something that will just come and go. Church, this Christmas season, let us not let it be just another Christmas. This is everything. Where are we if God doesn't send his son? Oh, where are we if Jesus doesn't look down and say, I will go, send me. Not to the palace, but to a humble manger surrounded by elephants, giraffes, snakes, squirrels. What else? There was a lot. Oh, lions were in there too. Right? There's a lot going on. 40 cents, and Frankenstein showed up and said, this is God. But where are we? If not for our Savior who came humbly to the earth. Paul reminds us that we are to examine our lives before the communion table. That we would repent, that we remind ourselves that it is no small price that was paid on the cross. Hallelujah. For our sins, we are deserving of death, but Jesus. Because he has come and suffered in our place, church, everlasting life has been written on your heart. Today he is standing at the door, and for some of you today he's knocking for the first time. This Christmas season, may it be the first revelation of exactly who the I am is, that his arm is not too short. He was willing to suffer in your place, and he is your atonement, your payment for all sin. For others this morning, God is knocking at the door and he's saying, can we just sit together? It's been a while. I know you're sitting in my house surrounded by the family that I have called together, but we haven't sat together for a little bit. Church, the I am is jealous for you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to eat with you. He's not only concerned about blessing you and the gifts and all those things, he actually just wants to be with you. To hear of how your day is going. To sit in that place where you say, God, I remember. I remember what it cost to see my sin on that cross. Verse 27 says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty considering the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. We've seen in the Old Testament that the Ten Commandments and the instructions, they were not simply, you know, if you want to. Right? And Jesus will eventually speak into this after the nativity scene. He will go and he'll say, listen, I haven't come to undo the law, but I have come to fulfill it. Church, this morning, we are still under mandate from the Lord that as we love him, we follow after his ways. And so this morning, before we eat and we drink together, let us approach the throne and ask forgiveness where there needs to be forgiveness. Repent where there needs to be repentance, and remind ourselves that in the Lord there is more strength than you could ever possibly imagine to overcome every temptation. It's the enemy who's a liar. It's God who provides. Let's pray. And so, Lord, I pray a hunger for holiness in this place. God, I pray that over our life kids today, for our junior highs, for our youth, for our young adults, for those of us in this room who are mature, God, I pray that we would hunger and thirst for holiness. God, forgive us for the things that we have thought or said or done that do not represent you. Forgive us once again, God. Lord, I pray that we would repent. Lord, if there's habitual sin in our lives, Lord God, I pray that that conviction would sit with us, Lord Jesus, a reminder of who it is that you have not called us to be, a reminder, Lord God, that we cannot sin and partake in darkness because we are children of the light. And so, God, I pray that you would refresh in our minds today for each and every person. God, that we would fall head over heels in love with your word, head over heels in love with your son, and not allow this world that does not know you to spark fresh convictions in our lives. No, God, we want to hear from you and you alone, that we would be a light to those that don't know you yet. And so, God, help us to sit in this place. Make us holy as you are holy, righteous as you are righteous. God, take off this old clothing, this tattered and withered stuff, Lord Jesus, and in its place, replace it with peace, love, joy, patience, goodness, self-control, wisdom, a deeper understanding of who you are. God, I pray that as we walk out of this place, that we would stink of you, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that with every word and every action and every thought, that others would be able to taste and see you are good. Come alive inside of us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Going back to verse 23, Paul says, "For I received them from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus came in the form of a baby and lived a perfect, faith-filled existence for our sake, to bring glory to the Father so that each and every one of us could be saved. Church, it is by his stripes that we are healed, by the body that was broken for us, that we have been invited to this table today. Let us rejoice and let us partake, each and every one of you, adopted into the heavenly court. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Church, the juice in this cup is the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. Wow. Wow. Mary, did you know? Joseph, with fresh explanation. "I know what it is that you have planned, Joseph, but I am. I am." Let's partake this morning. And so, God, this morning we give you praise and we exalt you. We thank you for those kids, Lord Jesus, that you have shown us a fresh reminder of the joy, of the overwhelming love that Mary and Joseph must have felt on that night that you were conceived and placed into the feeding trough, placed into the manger. God, would you receive all of the glory and all of the praise? We exalt you today, O Adonai.